Alright, so yeah, shukriyot to everyone for coming out in the bomb cyclone. I think that's what they called it on the weather station.
Not today, not today.
No, not today. The bomb cyclone is over. Now it's just cold
It
again.
was also in New York, not here.
Okay. So tonight I'm going to the first bracha, and just in case I forget to mention, next week we will not be having class. So we'll resume on the 21st. And we'll be starting introducing the third bracha, which we'll probably spend more than 1 week on the introduction of the third bracha. So that'll be in 2 weeks. We're up to the line, Mi kamocha ba'al gevuros, umi do melach. So we'll start with Mi kamocha ba'al gevuros. So the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, says that what does it mean, Mi kamocha ba'al gevuros, as literally translated, who is like you, master of gevuros, master of strengths. So the Vilna.
Should I use a prayer book so I can see the blessing? They
If
have them here.
you want, they have the. I don't know
They're
where
here.
they.
They have lots of siddurim.
Yeah, over there.
Yeah.
Do you want three, four?
Three, two, four. However many.
We've only spent it on these four words, right? So
what?
we only use these four words, right?
Hopefully, we'll get through the whole last line tonight. That's my
Okay.
plan. So,
This is demo.
Actually, the truth is, for the very last point we're going to make, actually, it will be helpful to have the sitter in front of us. So, are they over there?
Yeah, I'm at three.
All right, three's good.
Four.
Four is good too.
Win for logic.
Needs to be organized. So like
All right. So it says, Mi kamocha ba'al gevuros, who is like you, master of strength. So the Vilna Gaon explains, what does it mean, who is like you, ba'al gevuros, who is like you, the master of strength. So says the Gra that any gevura, any strength, or any control that a person has, that a human has, is happenstance. It's coincidental to the person. A person is basar v'rima, their flesh, and their infirm, and the a person is not naturally a baal gevura. It's not it's not definitional to him that he has gevura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baal Gevuros. He's the master of Gevuros, which means Gevura comes from Hashem, and he controls Gevura. If you the word Gevuros is plural, because all Gevura
Well, that's
comes
Shabbat.
from.
It should be the
It's
same.
100.
It should be the same. I was looking for Shabbat.
Here, you're right here. This one's not staying open as well, but we're right. Mi kamocha ba'al gevuros, right there. Right, or on this one, it's here we go. Mi kamocha ba'al gevuros. There you go. All right. So the Gra says the word gevuros is plural, right? Strengths, because all gevura is from. She's the ba'al gevuros. He's the ba'al of all gevura, all different. All the different gvura that everyone has, all gvura really comes from Hashem. The word Baal literally means master or owner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. He's the Baal gvura or gvuros. He is in control. He's the master of gvura. He decides when gvura should be exercised. He's not limited to his own midos or his own rules. That Hashem, someone who's a by nature a gibor, so they're actually in a certain sense limited to being a gibor because they don't have the decision to not be a gibor. that Hashem is Baal Gvuros. He's the master. He's in charge of. He's in control of Gvura. That even though Hashem has the rules that He made for the world and the mishpat that He does, but Hashem is in charge of that. Hashem is not bound by His own rules. And that's the first idea. What it means that He is Baal Gvuros. The Siach Yitzchak, student of the Gra, the Rav Yitzchak Isaac Haver, so he writes. So it's mi kamocha means b'shivoi gamor, that who is like you means who is completely equal to you, or to him, no, to you.
Comparable. Here it says comparable, which is the same thing, I guess.
Okay, right. So the Siach Yitzchak says that means who is b'shivoi gamor, totally, completely similar to Hashem, that. No one's like that. In that, his gvura, that Hashem's gvura, there might be people who have gvura, but his gvura is Baal gvuros. He's the master of gvuros, and he's in control of his gvura. No one is like Hashem in how gvura is used. There might be giborim, right? That we find that there is such a thing as a gibor, but that no one is like Hashem to be totally like Hashem, and that his gvura is. In the form of that he's the Baal Gvuros.
So it's a rhetorical question. He's
right.
Not really asking, he's saying there's nobody like
that. Right, exactly. And Umi Domelach, who is similar to you, says the Siach Yitzchak, is Gam Shiach Tzas Dimyon, who's even like, you know, in any that they could even be close to, you know, in any way comparable. And any no one does Gvuros that is anything like Hashem's Gvuros. It's not even similar, it's not even the same league. His Gvura is, we discussed this at the beginning of the Bracha, Hashem's Gvura is Memis Umechaya Umatzmiach Yeshua, as it goes on to say, right? Umi Domelach Melech Memis Umechaya Umatzmiach Yeshua, that Hashem is Memis, he brings death, but he's Memis Umechaya, he brings death, and then life, right? It doesn't say Mechayu Memis. It doesn't say Hashem brings life and He brings death. Hashem brings death and then life. Hashem brings death as a means of bringing back life at a higher level. We discussed the idea that it's Matzmiach Yeshua, that Hashem is, He's Matzmiach, He plants Yeshua, He plants salvation, that Misa, that death, is the planting and the decaying of the person in preparation for the Matzmiach Yeshua, for the salvation which is going to grow out of that. Hashem's Gvura is a Gvura that even the death, even the Gvura, even the strength and the power and the control that Hashem exerts is something which is Matzmiach, which brings growth, which we mentioned in the past, I believe, the idea that, you know, when you plant a seed, what happens to that seed? You put the seed in the ground, and then that seed first decays, and then it disintegrates, and it falls apart. And then out of the, so to speak, ashes of what was once a seed, suddenly that then forms the root, the beginnings of the root of the plant, and then from there it grows and develops into something much greater than the seed that you put into the ground. That Hashem is Matzmiach Yeshua, that he causes Yeshua, he causes salvation to flourish, to grow, to sprout, is that's the he's Memis Umechaye, that he brings death, and that death itself is a process of bringing life through a process of this renewed growth, which comes at a higher level. The same process of that when you plant something, that it first decays and then grows and then develops, redevelops into something which is a much higher form of existence. So too, when a person dies, the eventual direction is Trias Amesim. Trias Amesim, a person comes back at a much higher level than they were, as we discussed previously, at a much higher level than they were, you know, when they originally died. So that's Mi kamocha baal gvuros umi do melach. The Siach Yitzchak understands that leads into melech meimis umechayu matzmiach Yeshua. Let's talk about for a moment. I don't want to get too much into this because it could really be its own class or two or three. But the words umi do melach. So the Rambam, we have in at the end of Shachris in our Sidurim, we have this little page which has something called the Ani Mamins. which are known as the declarations of faith, Anima min be'emunah shleima, 13 things that you say, I believe with complete faith. So the Anima mins are of unknown authorship. We don't know who wrote them, but they are based off of the 13 yesodos, the 13 ikarim of the Rambam, which the Rambam wrote in his introduction to Parak Chelek, to that chapter of Sanhedrin. And the Rambam there develops 13 different fundamental points of belief, which, not the discussion for now, exactly why it was important, for what the significance of these 13 things are. But the third of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the third of these 13 principles of faith, is that Hashem does not have a body. And the Rambam in the Anima Amins, there are no psukim except for, I think, the 10th of the Anima Amins, I think, actually does have a verse associated with it. The 10th of them brings a verse, Hayotza Yachad Libam, on page 178/180, but not so important for our point. But the 10th of the Ikrim, or of the Anima Amins, has a verse associated with it for some reason. But in the Rambam's own formulation, all of them have a verse associated with them, with two exceptions, which the two exceptions are the 13th, the final, which is Trias Amesim, which the Rambam doesn't really say anything about, let alone bring a pasuk. He just kind of says it. But also the fifth one, he also doesn't bring a pasuk, because he says the whole Torah is really just, one statement against Avodah Zarah. He doesn't see, you don't need any specific psukim. It's just like so obvious if you learn the Torah. All that aside, the third of the Ikrim lines up to the third of the Anima Amins, is that Hashem does not have a body and does not have any physical attributes, and there's no physical concept to God. And as the Rambam explains in the third Ikar and Sanhedrin there, that all of the references to Hashem in the Torah using anthropomorphism are all just mashal, they're all just metaphors in order for us to be able to understand, to relate to the idea being conveyed using human terms. But Hashem doesn't have any of these things. And the Rambam brings, as he brings source text for all of the Ikrim, he brings as a source text Pasuk. It says, Ve'el mi tidamyuni ve'eshve yomar kadosh. It says, Ve'el mi tidamyuni, to whom could you compare me? That's umi domelach, right? El mi tidamyuni ve'eshve. Who could you compare me to that I would be equal, that I would line up, right? Or that they would line up to me, right? So that's seemingly the same concept as this line of Shmona Esrei, umi domelach, who is dome to you, who is comparable to you. And says the Rambam, so what is the significance of that? Says the Rambam that if Hashem had a guf, if he had a body, so whatever his body was, whatever his guf was, he would be comparable to entities that have a body in whatever the attributes of his body. If his body has arms, so then he's comparable in that he has arms and people have arms and monkeys have arms.
Greek gods, all the statues of these physically strong people.
Right, exactly. God. Like Nietzsche's famous line that God created man in his image and man returned the favor. That was so the Rambam says if Hashem had a guf, if Hashem had a physical existence, so he would be comparable to whatever entity, at least in as much as they have a physical existence, whatever is physical about them, so there would be about him would be comparable to Hashem, to other physical entities. So says the Rambam, from the fact that the Torah says El mi tidamyuni ve'eshve, so the fact that the Navi says El mi tidamyuni ve'eshve, to whom can you compare me? There will be any similarity. So you see that there's nothing comparable, and it must be that Hashem doesn't have a body. Now the truth is, and Rebecca Weinberg pointed this out, that the same logic also leads to the conclusion that Hashem also, in addition to Hashem not being physical, Hashem is also not spiritual. Because by the same logic, we would say that, well, can you compare Hashem to a malach? Mm-hmm. If Hashem is comparable in some way to a malach, so then again, El mi tidamyuni ve'eshve, what do you mean? He's comparable to a malach. In whatever way, he's the same as a malach. Hashem's existence is Hashem created both Ruchni and Gashmi. Hashem created both physical and spiritual existence. Spirituality is not something that defines Hashem. Hashem created spirituality. Hashem's existence precedes that. So that El Mi Tedamyuni, to whom can I be compared? The Rambam understands the implication is that there is nothing that you could compare me to that we would match up in any single way. So the conclusion is that Hashem is totally removed from any type of existence that we could put, that we could compare to anything that exists. Hashem is, his existence is above and distinct from any other existence, whether it be physical or spiritual. So I think that, you know, part of the Umi Domelach is also this idea that there's, that Hashem is so beyond that there's nothing that to that that could be discussed in the same discussion to compare anything to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the next line, moving along, this is the fastest we've ever gone. Melech Meimis Umechaye Umatzmiach Yeshua. So we discussed a moment ago that the Siach Yitzchak understands that line to be an extension of the or the last line before the gray box, the gray line. The Siach Yitzchak understands that to be an extension of, a continuation of what it means, Umido Melach, the fact that he's Melech Meimis Umechaye, that he brings death and then life. So, but the Siach Yitzchak actually explains further that Melech Meimis Umechaye Umatzmiach Yeshua. So says the Siach Yitzchak that even someone without many zechuyos can have hatzalah, could have a salvation after he dies. He says that you could have, a person could have children who act properly, who, because of the chinuch that he gave them, or the actions that they did later develop into somebody, you know, starts a tzedakah movement or whatever it is, and that's, you know, continuing to help people after they pass away, or something as simple as you make a good impression on someone that you know, later, much later, leads them to Torah and mitzvos, or it could be even we stretch it even further. You make a small impression on someone, on someone who's not connected to Torah and mitzvos, and that gives them a positive impression of Jews, and therefore, when their kids, you know, they impart to their kids this positive attitude towards, and when their kid is exposed to Judaism later, they're more open to it, and their kids become Shomer Torah Mitzvos, all because of the positive impact that someone made on them, on their parents decades ago. That says the Siach Yitzchak, that's Melech Meimis Umechaye Umatzmiach Yeshua, that you could, a person could die and then come back to life. They could have the schos, they could have the merits, that the credit to merit salvation, to merit to come back even after they die. And says the Siach Yitzchak, that's the Matzmiach Yeshua, that you plant a seed, you do something, you put the seed in the ground, and it sprouts later. It's something that you start a process, and that's something that takes, you know, however much time it takes. All you did was you planted a small seed, but from that small seed that you planted, something much greater can result. Hashem can still add to a person's account even after they're no longer in this world, and that's part of Matzmiach Yeshua. That's part of that even after a person is no longer in this world, that the impact that they made on the world can continue to make a difference, and that makes a difference in a person's cheshbon. That makes a difference in a person in Hashem's account for that person. Can even be this, the Matzmiach Yeshua, that Yeshua is something which can cultivate even after a person is no longer there to see the peros, to see the fruits of their own actions. Matzmiach Yeshua. We already mentioned this idea just a few minutes ago, but that the idea of Yeshua in general is like a process of tzmicha, of sprouting, that we mentioned. First you put a seed in the ground, it decays, and then it disintegrates, and then the new root grows out of the remnants of the original seed, and then it produces something much greater than the original seed. It produces a whole plant. It's tzmicha It's a very slow process. It's hard to watch a plant. It's hard to watch, you know, something sprout. Ge'ula is the culmination of a long process of factors and events, which is hard to see it as it's in process. That if you watch the process of a seed, first of all, it's a slow and tedious process, and it's not a linear process. First, the seed decays, and then the plant, you know, under the ground where you can't even see what's going on, the plant develops, and it's only after the days and weeks of cultivation in a place where no one can see what's going on that then the plant, you know, breaks through the surface and you can see that there's, and even after that all you see is this little, you know, green bulb pointing out. It's gonna be weeks until there's a flower comes, a pre comes, something like that. The process of Yeshua is something which is a process of tzmicha. It's a process of development and growth, and the culmination of a much longer process is it leads to Yeshua. In the gray box here, so we have an insert, one of the inserts that we say for the Yom Noraim from the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. We say here, Mi kamocha av harachamim, zocher yitzurav l'chaim berachamim. That who is like you, father of rachamim, father of mercy, Zocher Yitzurav L'chayim Berachamim. Chair for you, if you'd like to sit down. Zocher Yitzurav L'chayim Berachamim. That he remembers his Yitzurim, which means that which he has formed, his creations, his creatures, L'chayim Berachamim, for life with Rachamim, with mercy. So try to explain exactly, you know, what's going on here. Here. We're in the...
Should I close the door?
No, we're good. It's fine. So we're in the gray box over here. So mi kamocha avharachamim zocher yitzurav l'chayim barachamim. So first of all, what exactly does it mean avharachamim, that Hashem is the Father of Mercy? What does it mean? What is the concept of Father with regards to rachamim, to mercy? And what is this zocher yitzurav? Right, we referring to. Us, to people, to creations, as Yitzurim, normally, you know, we have Zocher, you know, Banav, Zocher, Masav, we have all kinds of different ways. What is Zocher Yitzurav? So, the word Av, right, means father, but the idea of an Av, the Rambam talks about this in the first Chelik of Mor Nevochim, that the idea of a father, really the Rambam talks about the idea of a son, but the converse is the idea of a father, the concept of a father is something that implies an influence or something which impacts on something else, right? A ben, a son, is the one who is shaped and influenced, like a ben Torah. Doesn't mean that he's a biological child of the Torah. It means that he is in a person who is shaped and developed by the Torah, the students of the Nevi'im, the ones who became Nevi'im by being students of the other Nevi'im are referred to as the B'nai HaNevi'im. We have in, not in this week's Parsha, in, I have to remember where the Pasuk is, that the Torah refers to the children of Aharon as the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who taught them Torah. And therefore, since he shaped them, since he formed their hashkafa, their life view, so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was regarded, at least in that sense, not to take away from Aharon being their father, but Moshe Rabbeinu is regarded as being their father. The pasuk says, Elo totals Aharon, and then lists Elo totals Moshe, and then lists Aharon's children, because he taught them Torah. A binyan av, I have this concept in the Talmud. So you have a binyan av, which is where you have one verse which teaches a lesson, and then that lesson is take or that teaching, that new whatever is learned from that is taken and applied to everywhere else. It's called a binyan av, where something is learned in one place and then extracted from there to everyone else. That's called a binyan av, which means the structure of a father, because that model case, that paradigm case, is the source for all other cases of the same halacha. It's the av means it's the source for everything else. We have the expression that the Chazal often use, the av lekulam, the father of all of them, when describing the most basic source for something. It says av lekulam, the proof that something that when something is being used to show that this word always means a certain thing. The Rashi brings this Chazal, so they'll show the place where the word most obviously has a certain meaning, and they'll say that's an av lekulam, that's the av that everywhere else where that word is used, it also means that. Because the most basic source for something is the proof that it means what they're saying it means. It shows that everywhere else it means the same thing. That's the concept of an av. An av is something which is the source of something else, which shows, which sheds light on everything else, or impacts and is reflected by everything, by something else, is called an av. A father is, you know, biologically means the, you know, contributor of the Y chromosome, but well, I guess the X chromosome also in the boy and the girl, but in a more conceptual sense, an av means a source of something, is that which gave shape or form to something else is the av, is the father of that thing. So av harachamim, we say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the av harachamim. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is, he's the source, he's the melamed, the teacher. He is the paradigm of rachamim from which all other rachamim, all other mercy is derived. So what exactly do we mean by that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, is Zocher Yitzurav L'chaim V'Rachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers us. He takes us into account. He considers us worth remembering and worth thinking about, even with all of the obstacles and the imperfections that we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still takes into account what we accomplish. The tour in Or HaChaim, when he discusses this line of Shemona Esrei, so the Torah says that Av Harachamim, this line, Mi Kamocha Av Harachamim Zocher Yitzurav L'Chaim Barachamim, is 8 words. Could count them, and he says that is 8 words to match the verse in Tehillim in chapter 78, verse 39. The verse there says Yizkar Ki Basar Hema, that Hashem remembers that we're made of flesh, that we're human, that Hashem takes into account that we have the struggles and the challenges of being physical. And when Hashem looks at us, Hashem looks at us in context of understanding that we have limitations, and Hashem realizes and understands that we're not perfect. The gematria of Av Harachamim is 306. Which is the difference between the gematria of neshama and the gematria of guf. Neshama is 395, guf is 89. The difference between the two, 306. The rachamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has is that he recognizes that we have a neshama, we have a soul, and we have a guf, we have a body, and there's a discrepancy between the two. There's a difference between the two. We have a lofty soul with spiritual desires, but we also have a physical body which has, you know, physical inclinations and drawn to earthliness and worldliness. And there's a difference between the two. That the difference between the two, that's Av Harachamim. 306 is also the gematria of Divash, of honey. And on Rosh Hashanah, we have honey because the avoda of Rosh Hashanah, the goal of Rosh Hashanah, is to bridge the gap between the neshama and the guf, is to bring the two back into sync. That's the avoda of Rosh Hashanah, is that avoda of 306, of closing the gap between the neshama and the guf. There's one more, the gematria of Musar. Is also 306, because the way to bridge the gap between the neshama and the guf is through Musar, is through the study of personal character development, is through, that's the way that gap is bridged. But the Av HaRachamim, that Hashem's Rachamim is, that he recognizes that we are physical, Ki Basar Hema, that Hashem remembers that we're flesh, that we're human, and that we make mistakes, that we're created in such a way that we make mistakes. So the second half of the line, Zocher Yitzurav L'chaim Berachamim, that Hashem remembers his Yitzurav, his Yitzurim. Hashem the word Yitzur comes from the word Tzur, which means to be formed, right? That there's three levels of creation. There's Beria, which is the original coming into existence from nothing. And then there's Yetzira, when you take the original, that starting material, that starting chomer, the raw material which is there, and you form it into something, shaping it into something, is called tzur. An artist is a tzayar because he takes the different ingredients and he forms them into something, he shapes it into something which gives it, you know, a concrete form to it, which the aesthetic or beauty, whatever it is from the way in which he puts everything and gives it its shape. That the word tzur means to form something. Hashem remembers Yitzurav, he remembers that which are formed, that which he's given form to, and that which Hashem himself created to be the way it is, and it has its form and it has its limitations. The word Yitzurav, also from the word tsar, which means narrow, that Hashem recognizes that we're restricted, that we're limited in the way in which He created Ki heim basar v'dam. Hashem remembers that we're flesh and blood. Hashem is the Av of Rachamim. Hashem is the source of Racham. He shows us what Rachamim is. Rachamim is to look at the whole picture and to take everything into account, to take into account all of the difficulties that the person faces, and to see everything as one big picture. And this is where we say this in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the time of Rosh Hashanah, the time or the mitzvah, the time we start saying this on Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is the shofar. There's different blasts we say in the shofar. We'll talk a lot more down the line when we get to the bracha of Tekah b'shofar. We'll talk a lot more about, you know, the idea of shofar and how it fits into a number of different things, but the Svarim say, actually really a Medrash already says this, that the Tekiya, that first blast of the shofar, represents chesed, represents Hashem's mid of chesed, of kindness, as opposed to the teruah, the middle sound, the broken up sound, represents din. And why is it that those two sounds, one represents chesed, and one represents din, one represents, you know, Hashem's kindness, and the other one represents Hashem's din, Hashem's judgment? The broken up sound, the trua, which is broken up into pieces, represents din because it's a broken sound, it's isolated, it's taking each part separately from every other part and looking at each event on its own, looking at each thing in a vacuum. If you look at everything and you remove it from context and you just analyze this event, this occurrence, this thing, what is it? Then you could have din. Then you could have judgment. Then you could be strict if you just look in a vacuum the absolute value of something. So then you'll have din. But a tekiya is one long blast. It's one sound in which everything is part of one larger sound. It's looking at the whole picture at once, seeing everything in context. When you see everything as part of a bigger picture, then you won't have din. That's where Rachamim comes from. Rachamim comes from seeing everything as part of the bigger picture. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at not just did you do that mitzvah or did you not do that mitzvah, did you do that avera, did you not do that avera, but looks in takes everything into context, understands who we are, where we're coming from, the fact that we're limited, the fact that we have the challenges and the struggles and the built-in shortcomings that we do, that's where Rachamim comes from, looking at everything in one big picture. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, I believe it's the third Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, says, Have dan es kol ha'adam l'kafskos, is often very quickly mistranslated as you should judge everyone to the kafskos favorably. But that's not actually what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Have dan es kol ha'adam, which means you should judge all of the person favorably. What does that mean, judge all of the person favorably? It's exactly this point. It's that if you judge all of the person, if you take the whole person If you judge kol ha'adam, you take the whole person. It's not you take all people. You take the whole person and you judge him as a whole, as the whole person, as everything that's involved. You take in the context where he's coming from and what his struggles are and what is what he's the background that he has and everything that he's dealing with. So then you'll be able to judge that person l'kaf schus. If you give the context to where this person is coming from and the trials that they have and the things that they're struggling with, and then you'll be able to judge the person l'kaf schus. Then you'll be able to look and say and find where can I view this person favorably, even though they might have done something which is negative, even though they might have done something harmful or negative. But if you look at the entirety of the person, if you look at the person in a big picture, so then you have the ability to be dan l'kaf schus. You have the ability to look at the person in that light. One last thought, and then we'll finish this bracha. The Ritva points out that the Mechaya Mesim, Trias Mesim, is mentioned four times in this bracha. Right? We have at the beginning of the bracha, it says, at the beginning of the bracha, it says, Ata Gibor Le'olam Hashem, Mechaya Mesim Ata, Rav Loshia. That's the first one. And then we have Mechalkal Chaim Bechasin, Mechaya Mesim Berachamim Rabim. And then towards the end we have Melech Memis Umechaya. Melech Memis Umechaya. And then in the last line we have Vene'emon Ata Lahachayos Mesim. Right? That four separate times in the Bracha that it mentions Tchiyas Mesim. And then there's the Chasim of the Bracha, which is Mechaya Mesim, but that one is said on its own. Each other one is in a context, right? The first one is Mechaya Mesim Ata Rav Lehoshia Mashev Aruch Morida Gashem, right? That Hashem is Mechaya. It's four different elements, four different aspects of the way in which Hashem is Mechaya Mesim. The first one says the Ritva is Mechaya Mesim Ata Rav Lehoshia, is referring to sustenance through rain, that Hashem maintains health, he gives life, he gives sustenance. Mechaya Mesim Berachamim Rabim is referring to, as it then goes on to say, Mechaya Mesim Berachamim Somech Noflim Vrofei Cholim Umatir Asurim, that Hashem supports the falling and he heals the sick and he frees the bound, that those who are faltering, those who are stumbling or struggling, then Hashem heals them, he lengthens their lives, he takes care of the people who are struggling. Melech Memis Umechaya, says the Ritva, is referring to Mesim in this world, that there are those who died and were brought back to life, like the people that we have at least two cases in Navi, where someone died and was brought back to life. You have the son of the Isha HaShunamis, and you have the Mesim that Elisha was Mechaya in the dry bones in the valley, who were, Chazal tell us, I don't remember if the Pesukim tell us, or Chazal tell us were the, those members of Shevet Ephraim who had attempted to leave Mitzrayim before the time of the Geula, but that there was, that we have several cases in Navi where even within this world, forgetting the time of, you know, Trias Amesim, the final Geula, where you have someone actually died and they're brought back to life. That's the Mechaya, Melech Memis Umechaya, that the person dies and then is brought back to life.
What does that mean, dies and then brings back to life? Does that mean like at a later time?
Yes.
Or like, okay, so that doesn't mean like someone dies and then comes back and it was just like a short incident. It means someone died and then much later at a different time.
Well, so you have different cases. So for example, the Isha Shunamis, her son died. The story of the Isha Shunamis was there was a family that they built a little room for Elisha to stay in when he passed through, and his servant Gehazi noticed that, you know, this couple didn't have any children, so Elisha gave them a bracha, they should have a child, and they had a child, and then a few years later, I don't think it's clear exactly how old the child was, but seems to still have been, you know, a young child. The child suddenly got sick and died. And so the Isha Shunamis, this woman, took the child and put him on the bed that they in the room that they had set aside for Elisha. And she went and got Elisha. And she ran to, or she sent a messenger to, no, she didn't send a messenger, she went herself to all the way to a different town where Elisha was, and got Elisha, and brought him, first sent Gehazi, sent the servant, and that didn't work. And then Elisha came, and Elisha revived him. It was later the same afternoon. He died, and then later that same afternoon, he was brought back to life. You have the case of the Mesim, the Tzamos Yavashim, the dry bones in the valley. So they died hundreds of years earlier. They died, you know, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then they were brought back to life by
it's like a vision, though, more than an actual occurrence.
So there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether or not it was just a vision or actual occurrence. There's actually an opinion in the Gemara that says that they got up, they went into town, and they lived normal lives after that, and then they died of old age.
So they went back to Israel. Is that what you're saying?
Hmm.
They went to Israel.
They went to
Israel. How did they know? Like, if you have a few strangers that come and say they're Jewish, like, how would you know that they're Jewish? You
know, like, practically, what did they? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it could be, you know, they all had bris mila. They all had
tzitzit.
Right.
Sorry, I just thought of that.
But then Elisha brought someone back to life. Who did Elisha bring back to life? I mean, I'm sorry, Elio brought someone back to life. I don't remember now who Elio, but Elio also brought someone back to life. But so that says the Ritva. That's Melech Memis Umachaya. And then the last one, V'ne'mon Atal Ahachayos Mesim, that you are trustworthy to resuscitate the dead. That's referring to something in the future, right? If it's Ne'emonus, if it's a question of being, you know, trustworthy, that means it hasn't happened yet, and we're relying and trusting Hashem that it will happen. Says the Ritva, that's referring to the future Tchias HaMesim of the Neshama and Olam and Neshamos, that the spiritual Tchias HaMesim for the final schar, for the final reward, that the soul will come back to the body, and there will be the final Tchias HaMesim, the final revival of the dead, to receive the final and eternal schar, eternal reward, that's Olam Vod, which goes for eternity. It says the Ritva that the in kind of a summary of this bracha is that the Tchias HaMesim on all levels, that there's first is the Mechayim Metim Ata, is the sustenance, is the maintaining health and life and keeping a person, keeping someone steady, keeping someone on their feet. Then you had the healing when, you know, someone who's faltering to support them and pick them back up, the Somech Noflim V'Rofei Cholim, and then you have the bringing back to life the person who had died and bringing them back to life. And then finally you have returning the neshamos, returning the souls to the bodies for the final purification of the body, the final resuscitation of the dead, to be a permanent state of schar, of reward, for the final reward of Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, the all levels of Tchias HaMesim as somewhat of a progression through the bracha, that's an increasing from first is just keeping a person, you know, from at maintaining the status of health, and then there's when a person is faltering to pick them up, person who's died, bringing them physically back to life, and then the spiritual Tchias HaMesim of the eventual Tchias HaMesim, the time of the Geula, which is the onset of Olam Haba. All right, we'll stop here for tonight. I mentioned that